Welcome to today's Innovative Ideas podcast. Our guest today is Dr. Tevi Troy, a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute and former deputy secretary of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Dr. Troy is also the author of Intellectuals in the American Presidency, Philosophers, Gestures, or Technicians, from Roman and Littlefield Books, 2002. Dr. Troy, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks. I'm a pretty frequent guest on this podcast.
And we love having you on. There's a debate going on right now, and of course, there's lots of important issues in the news surrounding, of course, the tragedy in Japan with the tsunami and then the ensuing nuclear disaster there as well, taking a little bit of the attention off of healthcare issues. But there is a very important debate going on right now surrounding the litigation over legislation, the Affordable Care Act, where it's going to go in the federal courts. But at the same time, over 20 governors, led by Governor Mitch Daniels, sent a letter to Secretary Sebelius asking her for substantially more flexibility from the secretary than I think is envisioned by the president or Secretary Sebelius. Do you have any sense of what the governors are asking for, what they need, and then what they're likely to get?
Yeah, that's a good question, Paul, and it is an important issue that we still need to talk about even though as our hearts go out to the crisis and tragedy in Japan. The letter that Governor Daniels sent was accompanied by an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal in which he described his desire to see more flexibility in the implementation of the Obama health care plan, and to basically let governors design the exchanges the way they see fit. This led to some criticism on the right from people who said, well, if you're going to work with the Obama health care plan, then you're just complicit in it, and you're letting it happen, and the only stance is opposition. I think that criticism may be correct in the politics, in that if you do work with the Obama administration will tout you as someone who's cooperating with this plan, but the criticism, I think, is short-sighted in that it misses the fact that the governors have to do something because the law requires them to do something, and if they don't do something, then the Obama administration will implement the exchanges in their state in the way they don't want. So Governor Daniels asked for flexibility along with 20 odd other governors, and Kathleen Sebelius, who's the Secretary of HHS, wrote back an op-ed in the Washington Post saying, well, of course, there's so much flexibility. We're all for flexibility, uber alles, et cetera. But the fact is, they have not shown a real record of asking or granting flexibility. And President Obama, in a statement to the governors when they were in Washington a few weeks later, said that he is for flexibility as long as you meet my requirements.
Tevi, I think you've made two very important points, one of which the governors are in a real bind because if they don't do anything and they decline to set up their own state health insurance exchanges, the federal government is going to step in and set up a federal exchange that they're not going to like very much, and they're basically going to lose control over that part of the market in their states. So they want to try and do something, and I think there are a lot of conservative healthcare analysts out there, perhaps you're one of them, who think that even in a reformed market, there would be a role for health insurance exchanges, not the kind that are envisioned by the Affordable Care Act, but some kind of health care exchanges.
Sure. And if you recall, the original idea for exchanges came from the Heritage Foundation. And then President Obama, when he came up with his Frankenstein monster of an exchange, said, well, the Heritage Foundation came up with the idea, which led Heritage to adamantly deny that they had anything to do with Obama's vision of a healthcare exchange. But I don't have a problem with an exchange, and I think most conservatives are okay with an exchange. But an exchange that is set around the idea of flexibility, maximum flexibility, not having these set limits, and giving the governors the ability to design it in a way that works for their state. After all, I mean, we all know that Massachusetts' plan is not something that Utah is going to want, and vice versa.
Absolutely.
Flexibility is key. And also, you want to see the states be laboratories of democracy. And that's why we've had this kind of kerfuffle recently about Mitch Daniels and his Healthy Indiana plan. The Healthy Indiana plan doesn't necessarily relate to the health care exchanges in the Obama health care bill so much as Medicaid. In the Bush administration, one of the policies that Mike Leavitt, for whom I worked, set forth was this notion of giving states additional flexibility to design Medicaid programs in a way that work best for their state. And Mitch Daniels came up with a consumer-driven plan called the Healthy Indiana Plan that gives people what's called a power account, basically a health savings account that with some funding from the state, but also from individuals. And it gives people skin in the game. It lets people decide for themselves how much they want to spend on health care, and then hopefully use those choices to drive down prices and, you know, maybe even have some money left at the end of the day, which is the whole notion of the health savings accounts that were part of the Medicare drug benefit reform in 2003. So I think it's a good idea to allow governors to have that flexibility to experiment, but there are some conservatives who criticized Mitch Daniels for engaging in this experiment. And I think at heart of the criticism is, we don't like Medicaid, why work with Medicaid to make the program work better? And I just can't accept that criticism. I think that it is important that as long as we have these government programs, even if you and I, Paul, would have designed them differently, we need to work within the context of the existing law to make sure that we can have the laws work best for business of our states or our country, as the case may be.
I think that that's right. I think one area where there's been a tactical or political mistake, perhaps, on the part of conservatives is advocates of larger government intervention in healthcare markets have just been very good about just pushing incrementally bigger and bigger programs, more expansion, more regulations, and they're just down in the weeds all the time talking about coverage and costs and benefits, and they're out there nudging everything in the direction that they want it to go. They're not giving up on it because it's not single payer the way they might ideally want it right now, but they're pushing it in that direction. I think your point about governors, particularly Governor Daniels, trying to move the program in the direction of more responsibility, more control, and the feeling of that this is something you can lose. It's not an entitlement if you don't make payments under the Healthy Indiana plan that you're required to based on a sliding scale income. You can lose your coverage. So I think you're absolutely right that it's a step in the right direction in terms of encouraging personal responsibility and thinking of this more like private insurance. And this gets us back to Obamacare. We're going to be putting more than 16 million, at least, people into Medicaid, which is a badly designed program right now. What the governors are asking for is essentially, take all the constraints out of the legislation. Don't tell us what we have to cover. Don't tell us what minimum cost-sharing requirements are. Let us do whatever we want with the subsidies. Maybe that means wraparound coverage for Medicaid or premium assistance for Medicaid so we can take someone who might be in the Medicaid program and get them employer-provided health insurance. I think that's the kind of freedom we're looking for from the governors. But as you pointed out earlier, that's not what the Obama administration is actually offering.
Yeah, I think it's extremely unlikely that they would come up with that. And flexibility that President Obama offered to the governors was this notion of the Brown-Wyden plan, which lets you ask for waivers 3 years earlier, but it seems unlikely that they would grant waivers with the flexibility that some of the Republican governors would want. However, I am somewhat optimistic in that we are at a situation in Washington where the Democrats are realizing that the old ways of doing business are not going to work anymore. I mean, you have a lot of conservative Republicans who are assertive and are saying we're going to fight until we get more cuts in the budget process. Seems pretty clear that there is going to be a substantially smaller budget as a result of this new reality in Washington. And I think that they can force compromises in the area of healthcare as well. And one of those areas of compromise, I think, could be more flexibility in the design of the state exchange.
Well, let's end on that point, perhaps, because I think one of the biggest problems are these enormous subsidies up to 400% of the federal poverty level. That's $88,000 for a family of four today. It's going to go up to $96,000, I believe, by the time the legislation is actually implemented in 2014. So lots of money on the table there. I think not the approach we'd like to use in terms of making it a middle-class entitlement, but also going to blow up the federal deficit. I think you've written and others have written, this is going to be awfully attractive for a number of companies to start dumping their employees into the exchanges and paying a relatively minus penalty. Do you think the deficit conversation could force Democrats to come back to the table and have a real conversation about, they wouldn't call it repeal and replace, but essentially, calling a do-over and really reshaping this from the ground up?
Yeah, I think there is a possibility for that kind of conversation. It may not just be the deficit, although that's going to be aspect of it. I think if it were deficits, I think that might not happen until 2015 when we get the first numbers after the implementation would be complete if it does get repealed or overturned in the process. But there are all sorts of things that Republicans are doing to gum up the works of the implementation. They're talking about defunding, for example, the implementation dollars that Obama would need from HHS and IRS to make it happen. So I think there are levers that Republicans push that can bring the Democrats to the table. I don't think you will get President Obama to agree to a compromise where his bill is completely goes away, but I do think if he comes back to the table on health care within the next 2 years, there could be a conversation about more flexibility. And I hope that Republicans would at least listen and be willing to have that conversation rather than reject it and wait for the 2012 election, which may or may not go our way.
Or hope that the Supreme Court will overturn the individual mandate based on what Justice Kennedy happens to have for breakfast that morning.
Right. And again, I'm optimistic and pleased by the progress we've made in both the repeal front and the overturn front. But that doesn't mean we're going to win on those fronts. And I think we need to recognize that you should use the leverage created by that progress to make changes if we can.
Absolutely. I think, you know, as I think Bob Hazelmeyer and Heritage has said on other fronts, there needs to be both an offensive and a defensive strategy. And the defensive strategy is get as much flexibility as you possibly can to make this move in the direction you want it to go.
Right. Because if we wake up in November 2012 and President Obama has won re-election, then the game's over. And I don't want to see that happen.
I think that's the right point to make. Tevi, thank you very much for taking the time today to talk to us.
Always fun to do it. Thanks, Paul.